Good morning. Happy New Year. Praise God. It's good to be home. Hallelujah. Thank you, Edwin. Praise God. Love those old hymns. Amen. Man, I feel like I'm in a barrel. A barrel. Speaking out of a barrel. I'm just speaking to you this morning, okay? The message is for you. Oh, boy. Maybe I should use the handheld. Okay, we're working on it. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand together, shall we? I'd just like to open with prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all your many blessings, Lord. We want to again tell you how much we love you. It's so good to come into your presence. Hallelujah. And Lord, we just pray that you'd speak to us today. God, that you'd remove every barrier around our hearts, God, our eyes, our ears, whatever, God, that would keep us from knowing you better, from keeping us from making a declaration, God, for helping us take steps of faith, God, whatever. We just pray, Lord, that the message would go unhindered. And we pray, Lord, that we would leave here different than we came. Not because of Herb, but because of you, Jesus. We ask you right now, Lord, as we read the scripture, Lord, this is a very familiar passage of scripture for a lot of people, but we know your word is alive. It's new, God. And I pray that you'd speak to us in a powerful way. Challenge us, God, and take us out of our comfort zone, if need be. I just thank you for what you're about to do. We give you all the praise and all God's people said. Amen. Brother, I'm going to have to take this thing off. It's really bothered me. Good time today, aren't we? Well, we're back home again. We're gone for a couple months, and before we get in the Word, I'm going to give you a report of what happened, and because, man, God's into doing some great things. How many know that? God's alive, and we've certainly seen Him work in a lot of people's lives this last trip, and you guys are part of that, because this is our home church, and we're some of your missionaries, and we want to tell you what happened, and it's important to know what's going on. And we started out, and we left last year, we started out in Kelowna, went to Rutland Gospel Tabernacle with Pastor Ted. He usually comes to our fundraisers, and at that first night there, Crystal sang, there was other ministers that we teamed up with, Norm Bonk. I don't know if anybody knows who's Norm Bonk. He's a tremendous singer. And then Gary Jesperson, he's an older brother, plays a sax, got a powerful testimony. Crystal sang, and then I gave a salvation message. And that night, five people gave their hearts to the Lord. And anytime anybody comes to Jesus, it's a very special thing. But there was one woman there, she was 45 years old, gave her heart to the Lord. It was her first time in church ever. And we just thought that was so wonderful that the first time in church that she would give her heart to Jesus. I mean, there's some people that come to church all the time and they're not saved. Amen? And so for the first time, because the message is powerful, right? And it's fresh for people who are wanting something different. There's all kinds of people out there who are looking for a life change and they don't know how to change things, right? But Jesus is the answer. And so it was a very special night. And then we went on to Five Corners Church in Salmon Arm. And two people that night gave their heart to the Lord. There was a young man sitting in the front there. I could just see the Lord working in his heart. And this one woman over here, she's a middle-aged lady, cried through the whole service. You know, sometimes you can really see God move in a person's life. And, you know, she was broken through the whole service. And I knew God was going to do something special for her. So when we gave the altar call, both those people came forward to give their heart to the Lord. And something special about these churches that we're going to is they're set up to receive new believers. They're anxious to minister to new converts, and they're ready to disciple them. And this particular church, the pastor and his wife, they're both trained counselors as well as ministers. And so these folks, that very next week, before they left the church, they had appointments to become discipled. And that was so cool. Then we went up to Terrace, B.C. We did a lot of traveling up north. And Crystal sang for 3 days in the Walmart. And that Sunday night, we had our outreach service. And I just knew something special was going to happen. 13 people gave their hearts to the Lord. And one woman had brought her husband to church. He had never been to church for 12 years, been praying for her husband for years and years and years. And for some reason, it was God's timing. That particular night, she brought her husband to church. He wanted to come and hear Crystal sing. And when the altar call was given, he was one of the 13 that gave their hearts to the Lord. You should have seen his wife's face. After praying for all those years, seeing her husband come to Christ was such a wonderful thing. And there's other people from other churches there. And one common a common comment that we get from people after they come to Christ, especially with the older folks, they come and they say, "We've never heard the gospel preached that way before. Yet we've been going to church for all these years." And so one thing Crystal and I do is we keep it very simple. It's a simple message. And when children come to Christ in our services and older folks come to Christ in our services, it's a simple message. And it's really, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's God's timing, opening up their hearts to receive the Word of God and receive Christ. And so it was a very special time there. And there was other people that came there. I think there's one lady about 85 years old gave her heart to the Lord. And her friends, we had started out the campaign where we were invited to a seniors luncheon. There was about 130 seniors to this luncheon. And after that, we were in the Walmart for 3 days, and then we had a church on the Sunday night. And so some of those folks came back, and some of those people who were at the seniors luncheon actually gave their heart to the Lord. So, wow, praise God. And then we were off to Houston, and two little girls, 7 and 9 years of age, gave their heart to Jesus. That was a very special time. And whenever children come to the Lord, it's a very special thing. Amen? And, of course, it can just liven up the church. When there's new believers, right, it just livens up the church because all of a sudden people are asking questions and they want to know. And we take a lot for granted, those of us who know and love the Lord. When someone new comes to Christ, it just brings new life into the body. That's why it's so important to reach out to those who are lost. Had you heard me say that before? At the end of the service, the pastor got up and he sang Amazing Grace. And all of a sudden, this young boy gets up and he leaves the church. He's about 15 years old. And after the service, he had a foster mother there. And I said, "What's the story about that young man? Why did he leave the church before it was over?" She said, "He's having a very difficult time. When you sang Amazing Grace, that was sung at his mother's funeral." You see, what people don't know is that he just lost his mother and his grandmother to cancer. And his father is an alcoholic, so he was farmed out. 15, living with strangers. And my heart just ached for that young boy. And so I grabbed a CD and a Bible, and I ran out after him. He was sitting in the car. I just knocked on the window. He opened up the door, and the tears were just rolling down his cheeks. I said, "Come out of there. I got something to tell you." And he came out of the car, and my heart just broke for that young boy. And he just put his head on my chest and wept. I began to pray for him. His name is James. Sometimes, you know, why is it necessary for us to go do what we do? It's for people like James. We talked a while. The good news is that the next morning we tracked him down. We found out where he was. And I made the pastor promise me that he was not going to fall through the cracks. Hallelujah. So if you think of James, pray for him, please. Man, whenever I tell that story, I can't help it. I got to cry. And there's so many broken hearts out there that need the Lord. Then we went on to Radium. And we ministered. First of all, you know, there's a lot of churches that we went to. I'm not mentioning. We went up to High Prairie, and this church service was a blast. I don't know how many people got saved. There's all kinds of people in the church that gave their heart to the Lord. The pastor was handing out Bibles. I was handing out Bibles. There was a visiting evangelist there. Someone gave him a couple Bibles to hand out. And it was just a wonderful thing. But the pastor found out, he wrote us a letter later on. He says, I know everybody that gave their heart to the Lord, and I will be following up with them. So I thought that was wonderful. And then from up in northern Alberta, we went back down to Radium. And when we were at Radium, we ministered mostly to the pastor and his wife. You know, a lot of times it's a ministry that God has given us is to pastors and their wives. They have no one to talk to. They go through a very difficult time, and we're no threat because we don't tell people what we hear. We've got a hockey sock full of people's secrets. But that's okay because I forget them anyway. But anyway, the church was going through a very difficult time. And there were many hearts that were broken. And God gave us an encouraging word to lift up their hearts. Hallelujah. We have to remember that God loves our churches more than we do. And He loves our people more than we do. And He wants reconciliation, and He wants peace and harmony, and He wants unity. Hallelujah. And then our last charge, we went to Prince George. Crystal sang for 4 days in the Walmart, and we had two services on Sunday. Now, when I called the Walmart to come there, the manager said, I want Crystal to come and sing in the store at Christmas time. And we found out later, he said, we want her there because when Crystal comes, it changes the atmosphere of the store. But we know it's not Crystal that changes the atmosphere of the store. We know it's Jesus. Amen. And hallelujah. And it says, and if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. And truly, when Crystal's singing about Jesus, people start thinking. So we were geared up for Sunday night. We did all kinds of advertising. They had bought radio spots on the radio, on TV. It was in the newspapers. There was posters plastered up all over town. They made up some real special tickets to invite people on an individual basis for personal evangelism. And I was praying for 100 people would come to Christ on Sunday night. I had big faith. But sometimes, you know, our plans are not what God's plans are. Amen? And but anyway, Sunday morning, usually when we preach, it's a message to the church. It's a challenging message to the church to encourage them to step out of their comfort zone and so forth. And all of a sudden, I'm preaching, and the Holy Spirit says, switch it around. And so I didn't finish my message, and I started talking about Jesus and what He did for us and how we need Him, and ended up giving an altar call Sunday morning. And 14 people came forward to receive Christ. And a lot of these people had been going to the church for years, but they were just sitting in their chairs. Sometimes when you come to church, you think everybody who comes to church is saved and ready to meet with God. And a lot of times there's many people out there who are thinking about it, or they're just going, they're here for the ride. Amen? And but it was God's perfect timing. And there were women there that had been praying for their husbands for years, and they were at the front of the church, gave their hearts to the Lord. What a special time we had. The pastor said, you messed up, Herb. I said, what do you mean? He says, we were going to take up a love offering for you, but you did an altar call instead. Well, I thought, well, what would we rather have? Amen? And but anyway, and then Sunday night came along, and we had a lot of visitors come from the Walmart experience, and that night 8 people gave their heart to the Lord. And here I thought Sunday night was going to be the time where God was really going to move in a powerful way. Here was just Sunday morning. You don't know what God's up to, amen? You don't. He's a God. He loves to surprise His children. Hallelujah. Anyway, turn your Bibles to John chapter 12, we're going to be reading verses 20 to 26, I believe. But I'm going to look at 19 a little bit here. Now, we're going to be reading a lot of scripture here this morning. And Peter, like Brother Peter said, the subject is really about dying to self here. It's a picture of Jesus, really, a picture of his death and his burial and resurrection, and because of, you know, of his resurrection, the fruit that followed, like millions of souls, hallelujah. And the key ingredient here, I believe, is to producing much fruit. Of course, it's the work of God, but it's dying to self. It's a dying to self. So remember that. So here we are in verse 19. We taught in part of 19. Well, let's read 19. It says, "And the Pharisees therefore said amongst themselves, 'You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. The world has gone after him.'" Picture this. At this point, you know, it looks like the Pharisees have lost control. I really believe that. Probably arguing amongst themselves, accusing each other in anger, whatever. "You see, you are accomplishing nothing." It's like they throw their hands up in the air and say, "Look, the world has gone after him." Right? Look at this. And remember now, Jesus had just risen Lazarus from the dead. He rides into Jerusalem and is welcomed as the King of Israel. All this attention, masses of people are coming to Christ, becoming followers of Jesus. And they're looking and they're seeing this and they're saying, "Man," he says, "look at," he says, "everybody, the bulk of the people." And no wonder the Pharisees were freaking out and wanted to put Christ to death. So that's the kind of what's going on here. And in the meantime, let's read the passage. Let's all stand together as we read God's word together, okay? "Now there were certain Greeks amongst those who came up to worship at the feast. And they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' And Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor.'" May God truly bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. So, this thing about the Greeks kind of intrigued me, right? It says certain Greeks, perhaps they stood out from the rest. This was a Jewish celebration, and those of like-minded faith would only be welcome. Perhaps these Greeks embraced the Jewish faith or even became followers of Jesus. It doesn't say. They were there with an agenda, right? To worship at the feast, perhaps, guest, who knows, but for sure to come and see Jesus. They wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus had little or no free time. Things were beginning to happen real fast. The Greeks, in a respectful way, approached Philip, right, and wanting to see Jesus. They could have just barged in there and done their own thing and trying to come to see him, but they probably figured if we come and see Philip, because he knows who Christ is, perhaps if we do it this way, we'll have favor and we'll be able to see the Master. Whatever they said to Philip, he was compelled to go to Andrew. Must have been something good. He was compelled to go to Andrew, and then Philip and Andrew, most likely with the Greeks following behind, came to see Jesus. The Greeks approached Philip because they knew he knew the Master, right? There was a connection. And if anyone could get them close, it could be maybe Philip. But the Greeks had an agenda, right? The disciples had an agenda. Jesus had an agenda. And I want to ask you, which one do you think was more important? More than our plans, what are God's plans. That's a fact. These guys were determined to come into the presence of God. And people work hard to come into his presence, right? There's people that perform all kinds of rituals thinking that's going to get them into the presence of God. Legalism. People are so bound up with legalism. They think doing something just the way it is all the time, that's going to get them into the presence. Traditions is big in a lot of people's life. Stories, experiences. Some people think to come into God's presence, you have to come to church. Or God is always around pastors and missionaries and evangelists, right? The fact of the matter is that he's everywhere. And we can have direct access to him without petitioning anything or anyone by the finished work of the cross. In Romans 5, 1 and 2, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We sang about grace today. What's so special about grace? Grace, we know, is the definition for grace is unmerited favor. It's so important because it says, by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We may have the best intentions and motives or plans, but it may not be what God wants. And there is disappointment when we don't get what we want, right? And there could be rough waters ahead unless we submit and die to self. The Greeks had to deal with not seeing Jesus. You know, the word is get over it, right? The disciples could have been offended that their influence was not timely. Deal with it, right? We have to understand that God has got a plan. And how do we deal with disappointment when our plans don't come to pass? It says in Romans 5 again, not only that, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Everything the Lord allows us to go through is for a reason. It's for a reason. Now, the important answer to an untimely question was to overshadow everyone's agenda, right? And God can speak to us any way he wants to. And when he speaks to us, know this, that it is important. And it goes beyond our agenda or our plans. God can speak to us through the Bible. Hallelujah for this precious word. He can speak to us through the Holy Ghost. Yes. He can speak to us through other believers, through pastors, evangelists, missionaries, whatever. You know, God can even speak to us through a donkey if he wants. A child. Can you imagine a child? A stranger. We need to pay attention to God so our agenda does not hinder the work of God. Is that a good word? We need to pay attention to God so that our agenda does not hinder the work of God. Last year, some of you know the story, we went to Yellow Quill Indian Reserve. This is a reserve that has taken pride for over 40 years to not allow the gospel on the reserve. They were open about it. They took pride in not allowing the gospel on the reserve. And 2 years ago, God was about to break through. Now, 40 years, we know, is what? A generation, right? The 40 years is over. And the band administrator gives Crystal a call and wants her to come sing for half an hour at a special event. And we didn't understand how huge this was. But God was opening up a special door. And we said yes, and we went there. And I'll tell you what, it could be intimidating when you get 200 big natives looking at a couple white people. We went in there, and you know what broke the ice? My mustache. I had my mustache all waxed up, right? And they're coming up, and he, can I touch that? I said, sure, go ahead. Just don't take it off. We became friends. And then there was a peace. And Crystal got up and sang for half an hour. And last year we went up to Wilderness Camp to do revival meetings up there at the camp, right? God put it on my heart and he said, Herb, I want you to go back to Yellow Quill and do some revival meetings. I didn't know about this 40-year stuff. I didn't know about the history on the reserve. But I called up a friend of mine who lives right next to the reserve. I said, Gary, do you want to do this? He said, let me try to find a tent. He found a tent from a church, and he rented this tent from the church, and he only knew one Christian that lived on the reserve. His name was Stan. And he said, Stan, can we come there and put the tent on your property to do these meetings? And he said, yes. And we got there, right? And really, I thought we were going to have all kinds of opposition from what was told to us, the history on what was going on there. And the tent was up, and and the meetings were going to start Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. But we got there on Saturday to pray in the tent. And as we're praying in the tent, this big guy comes in the yard, jumps out of his truck, and says, you've got to take this tent down. You've got to take it down. You're not welcome here. Get off this land. And Stan says, this is my land. He said, no, this is not your land. This is reserve land, and we're only letting you stay here. But this guy had no authority. They sent him because he was intimidating, right? And we need to know who has the authority and who doesn't. Jesus has given us the authority. Hallelujah. And we need to recognize who has authority. This man had no authority. So they said, you know, you're welcome to come to the meetings, but we're not going to move. We're not going to take the tent down. We're staying here. He says, we'll see you in court. He said, we're looking forward to it. Nothing ever happened. So that night we had our first meeting, and three people came to know the Lord. It was a good start. Hallelujah. The next day, we get together. We have a meeting in the morning. And there are some people there that are not happy with what's going on. And the deal is, this is not from outside the church. This is from within the church. And I'm thinking, you know, spiritual warfare is not supposed to happen inside the church. It's supposed to happen outside the church. So what's happening now is that there's people there that are, actually what they did was they insulted Crystal and I. But what happened was, is before we got there, God spoke to Crystal and myself. And the Holy Spirit said to Crystal, Crystal, you're there for one reason, is to love these people. You're there to love them. You're not to rebuke them. You're not to correct them. You're to love them. So we went there with an attitude of love. Oh, I'm so thankful he spoke to us before we went there. And God said to me, he said, Herbie, after it's all said and done, do not expect to be thanked. Don't expect to be thanked. So all of a sudden now, we have to have the right attitude. We have to have the right agenda, and we have to be willing to die to self. And I said to Crystal, I said, Lord, if I didn't know what God was up to, it would be very easy to pack my stuff up in the motorhome and head back home. In the 18 years that we've been on the road, this is the first time that I said to Crystal, if it wasn't that I knew God was going to do something special here, it would have been very easy for me to pack up and leave. But as they were sitting across the table and the things that they were saying to us, we were quiet. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. All Chris and I was, we looked over and looked at each other, and we just looked down, and we took it. And we took it. And I thought, man, I said, you know, it took us 2 days to get here. We weren't promised any money to come, and we're here because God has called us here, and we got to put up with this. And the Lord said, yes, you do, because I've got a plan. I've got a plan. That night we had church. Church was filled. The tent was filled, half white people, half native people. It was about 10 o'clock now. We're still going strong. The tent flaps are down. We got two fires going on in the center of the tent to keep warm. And it's my turn around 10 o'clock to get up and speak. I have everybody look at when you go to these things, don't you must well throw your watch away. As time has no issue, right? So I get up and start to speak. And as I speak, all of a sudden, one of these people jump up in front of me. And they point their finger at me and they say, "You need to apologize to us for everything you've ever done to us. But now God's given us a good attitude." Hallelujah. I said, "I can do that." But I said, "All you white people out there, get up out of your chair and come up behind me. Because I'm not doing this alone." So half the tent got up behind me. Right? Got all behind me, right? And I said, and I can't remember exactly what I said because it was God. But I apologize for everything that white people have done to the natives. And I said, but know this, the things that were done in God's name, God had nothing to do with. He had nothing to do with. And then she looked at me after I apologized. She says, "I'm the gatekeeper to this reserve. And nobody is going to say anything else unless I allow them to." And I said, "You are now welcome. And we do accept your apology." And everybody went down off the stage. And they got up out of their chairs. And everybody embraced everybody. What a night it was. Hallelujah. And then I got in the Word and began to preach. And I was about three quarters way through the message. And the Holy Spirit said, "Speak to the guys outside the tent." I didn't know there was people outside the tent. But why would the devil tell me to speak to people outside the tent? So all of a sudden they say, "You guys outside the tent." And the people are looking around saying, "I don't see anybody." Well, the flaps are down. And I begin to speak to those people outside the tent and telling them that, you know, you can come in on the inside. You don't have to stay on the outside. And you can give your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. So right now I want you to open up those flaps and come through and give your heart to Jesus. Four people walked through that tent and gave their heart to the Lord. Praise God. Nine people that night gave their heart to Jesus. Enough to start a small church. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I thought church was over. Just when you think it's over, right? And I look over there and now everybody's eating. It's about 11 o'clock and they've opened up the food line. They're all eating. And these two little white girls are sitting over there by the fire. There's three chairs. And the Holy Spirit leads me over there and say, "Hi, girls, how you doing?" They said, "Good." I said, "You're saved, right?" I mean, I'm not shy anymore. How many know that? I said, "You're saved, right?" And they just looked at me. I says, "You don't know Jesus." Their mother sang at the service last night. She's a beautiful Christian. But here she has two daughters. I said, "You guys don't know the Lord?" I said, "No," and I sat down. I said, what do you think about the message tonight?" They said it was good. I said, "What do you think about Jesus? Isn't he special?" They said, "Yes." I said, "You guys need to give your heart to the Lord, don't you?" And they looked, they said, "Yes, we do." And those two little white girls, I led them in the sinner's prayer and they gave their hearts to Jesus. What a night. Hallelujah. The next night we had, there wasn't anybody saved, but pretty well the whole tent, after the message, rededicated their life to the Lord. White people and native people together in unity. Hallelujah. So, here's the deal, folks. I could have been offended and went home thinking I did the right thing. But you know what? God wants us to die to self. Because he has a plan. He's got a plan. And when we die to self and allow him to work in our life, miracles take place. What tragedy that would have been if I just would have left with Crystal. And probably people would say, if I were you, I would. It was so bad at one time, the guy who brought us there stayed home for the last meeting. When we came home, what we did was the Lord allowed us to identify the spirits that attached themselves to believers that we could pray against. And we prayed against the spirit of, what is it, the spirit of control, a spirit of unforgiveness, the spirit of anger, the spirit of manipulation. And when we prayed against those spirits, you know, the next day, they were different people. They're different people. Gary went back there and said, there is no opposition at all. These are just beautiful Christians now. God's got a plan. And sometimes we have to put up with stuff, right? Now, the Greeks, what they had to put up with was really nothing. They just couldn't see Jesus, but they could have been greatly disappointed because they were expecting to see the Lord. And even the disciples could have been disappointed because maybe they thought they had a real in with the Lord because they were his disciples. And, you know, hey, don't worry about it. You'll see Jesus. I got the inside track here, buddy. Stick with me. You'll be able to talk to the master. Come with me. And all of a sudden, what Jesus says, the hour has come, right? That the Son of Man should be glorified. The hour Jesus is talking about is not like a 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. It's talking about a period of time. And Jesus is being glorified, and the Father is glorified. Bringing glory to God is a big thing. And we are to give God all the glory for every good thing that takes place. And even when we read Acts 1:8, I love this part. It says, Jesus says, you shall be witnesses to me. Now, why would he put that in there? It's because we need to be witnesses to Christ to bring glory to God. To bring glory to God. Jesus' obedience to the end would bring glory to God and change the world forever. Verses 24 and 25, a picture of Jesus dying in his burial and his resurrection, and since then, millions have come to Christ. In verse 26, it says, and if anyone serves me, let him follow me. Well, how do we do this? If anyone serves me, let him follow me. How do we do this? Specifically, we need to die to self to honor God and follow his example. In dying to self, we begin to live for Christ as never before. There is life in the surrendering of one's life to Jesus, and in the dying to self, life is born to flourish in Christ Jesus. It is. In verse 25, it says, and he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in the world will keep it for eternal life. Do you know, Jesus mentions this 6 times in the scriptures. Write these things down. If you've got paper, like Matthew 10:39. Matthew 16:25, Mark 8:35, Luke 9:24, Luke 17:33, John 12:25. Hallelujah. It's an important thing. It's essential. And whenever it says whoever loses his life or hates his life, is referring mostly, I would say, to the comfort and security of life. And loving the comfort and security of life more than God, it says that we're going to lose our life. And you can't serve two masters. There is no fence sitting with God. Either you're in or you're out. 2 Corinthians 5:17-21, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. What are all things? Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciled in the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, but was committed to us the world of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. I love this part. I love it all, but I love this really a whole bunch more, okay? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. You get that? We're ambassadors of Christ as if God was pleading through us. Church, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that what we might become the righteous of God in him. Now, reconciliation is the process by which man and God are brought together again by the finished work of the cross, right? And without this, there is no way to reconcile with God. It's only through the blood of Christ that we can be cleansed and forgiven for the sin in our lives. Being a new creation produces, again, this is a whole thing about dying and surrendering our life to the Lord, right? And in doing that, this is, it produces, there's things it produces, right? It's all about production here. Being a new creation produces new love, new joy, new peace, new patience, new kindness, new goodness, new faithfulness. And this will not be attained unless we die to self. Really, our life is a life of choice. Yes, we can be happy that we're saved. We should be happy that we're saved. We should be ecstatic that we're going to be in the presence of God someday. Yeah. And we can be happy that we sing songs. This morning I enjoyed the worship time immensely, and it was great to hear everybody enter in and sing their praises to God to glorify Him. It's wonderful. And going to prayer meeting and sitting around and praying together and petitioning the Lord, right? Which is very important. But God wants more from us. It's more than just going to church. It's more than just singing songs. It's more than just going to prayer meeting. There needs to be an evidence that we stand out for Christ. That He makes a difference in our life. That we're willing to die to self and count the cost. Really, there needs to be a separation from church and the world. It used to be that the church influenced the world. Now the world has moved into the church. And can you tell the difference between the two? You take the modern-day Christian and the unsaved person, there's really not a lot of difference. They do the same things. They go to the same places. It's so intermingled and intertwined now. The other day, I challenged someone the other day to live for God and forsake sin. And their answer was, well, everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. Let me tell you, not everybody is doing it. The word says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. He says this for a reason. We need to die to self, to honor God, and to put ourselves in a place to be used of Him, to be used of God. And unless we're willing to die to self and do it God's way, there's going to be no harvest. We wonder why there's no harvest. It's because we're not dying to self. Jesus says, let Him follow me. We're to be imitators of Him. See, this is so important. Yeah, it's nice that the Greeks wanted to come and talk to Jesus. Maybe they had something real important to say, but what Christ had to say was more important. God's plans are more important. In 1 John 2:5 and 17, it says, do not love the world for the things of this world. And if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, right? But he who does the will of God abides forever. He who does the will of God abides forever. Listen, folks, this is not our home. We're just passing through. We put so much emphasis in this world, where our emphasis and our priority should be in the things of God. We have a short period of time to make a big difference for Christ. And really, I believe this. Do you want to get to know God? Listen, do you really want to get to know God? Then serve Him. Serve Him. Then serve the Lord. In service, there is sacrifice. There is self-denial. And without the service and the sacrifice, there is no discipline in a person's life. Sacrifice and self-denial sound so scary. But you know something? You're not in it alone. You're not in it alone. Jesus is there to help us. And He's given us the Holy Spirit. And in doing that, we can honor the Lord. And what's it say in verse 26? If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Jesus as the example. And where I am, there my servant will be also. And if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Do you want to be honored by God? Serve Him. You want to be honored by God? Serve Him. You want to be honored by God? Serve Him. I thank You, Lord, for this time that You've given us. I thank You for Your holy word. I thank You, Lord, that You have a plan, and Your plan is perfect. And help us, Lord, not to distort Your plan. Help us, Lord, that our agenda would not alter Your will, Lord. But, Lord, help us to come under Your care, under Your shadow, God. Because, Lord, we want to serve You, and we want to do it in a way that would bring honor and glory to You, Lord. And we just thank You, Lord, for Your word and how precious that it is. And I pray, God, that we would all search the Scriptures for the truth. And when we find it, Lord, that we would use it to bring honor and glory to You. I thank You for each and every person here, Lord, my church family. And I love them, Lord. And I love You. And I pray, God, that You would reign supreme in each household here, God. Lord, that they would see the importance of putting You first in their lives. And Lord, that dying to self, God, is a beginning of a great harvest. So, Lord, may we desire, Lord, that we'd have harvest in our life, Lord, in many ways. But I pray, Lord, that we would see the value in following You. I thank You for what You're about to do now. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, we never end our services without giving people an opportunity to give their heart to the Lord. Perhaps you're here tonight or today, and God's plan for you is that He wants to reconcile with you. You need to know that you're lost without Christ, and without accepting Him as your Lord and Savior, you're lost for eternity. The good news is you can find Him, because He can be found. He's here today. I know a lot of people in this room, but I don't know everybody. I know there's people that have been coming to church here for years, but some of you, I really don't know if you're Christian or not. Right? But God knows, and you know. And it's my hope and prayer that you see the value in knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And in doing that, would you just bow your heads and close your eyes now? God's been speaking to you today. And you said, man, I need to do something here. I just feel like I need to do something. Well, probably what you need to do is give your heart to the Lord. And if you've never, by faith, asked Christ into your life to be your Lord and Savior, today is your day. Because today is a day of salvation. Wow. Today's your day. God wants to do something special in your life today. Jesus came for you. He shed His blood on the cross for you. He rose from the grave for you. And today is your day. And who am I speaking to right now? I'm speaking to the children. I'm speaking to the teenagers, the moms and dads, the grandmothers, the grandfathers. I'm talking to everyone right now. And if you want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's something simple I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to put your hand up right now. Is there anybody here that would put their hand up and say, "Yes, Herb, I want to give my heart to you"? One of my favorite verses that I use in Scripture is 1 John 5:11 and 12. It says, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Without the Son of God, you don't have life. You need to have the Son of God to have life. Perhaps everybody in this room knows the Lord. And if that's the case, praise God. But perhaps you've been thinking about it lately. Is there anybody here that would raise their hand and say, "Yes, Herbie, I want to give my heart to the Lord today"? Anybody? Praise God. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I want to speak to the believers now. Maybe dying to self has been an issue for you and you've not been really good at it. I got to tell you, I'm not good at it neither. Sometimes I get it right, sometimes I get it wrong. But God is merciful and graceful, right? But perhaps you're here today and you want to rededicate your life to Christ. That you put yourself in a position to hear His voice, to be obedient to His word. That you would begin a process right today that a harvest would come in your life of different ways. God can bring a harvest in our life, in our family, in winning people to Christ, in our finances, whatever it is. You can start by making the right decision for Him. And I'm going to get Edwin to come up. You're going to do a song in closing. Edwin, would you come up now, please? And here's the deal. While Edwin is leading us in the last song for worship, if you're one of those who said, "You know something, I want to rededicate my life to Christ today," I want you to move out of your chair and come to the front. And why do you do that? Because it's a step of faith. Because you know something? If we can't do this in church amongst people whom we love and cherish, how hard is it going to be outside these four walls? If you're here today, God's been speaking to you, and you want to rededicate your life to Him and be a follower of Jesus and start producing fruit in your life as it has been intended to, I want you to come up front. Also, I want to make this clear. Crystal and I are here for you today. If you have any needs, any prayer needs, any special requests, we'll be over here and we would love to pray with you, that we would agree with you that God would move in your life in a very special way. I don't know, maybe you want prayer for your marriage or your children. Maybe you're sick. Maybe there are things going on. Your just heart is broken and you need someone to love you. We're here for you tonight to do that, okay? But as Edwin sings this song, if you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, I'm just going to ask you to move.